again, I find it really interesting that we almost put our lives on pause to go to a building inside to then walk on a treadmill or to lift some weights when we could be doing those same types of movements in nature that integrate naturally into our lives. And I'm not saying the gym isn't necessary, but as you study these blue zones, you naturally begin to question some of these practices that we're doing. And you often wonder if it's as effective as we think it is. Not to mention that you're paying to go to the gym. Some of these gyms, you're paying $120, $150 a month. You're paying to move your body. You're paying to be able to exercise when in reality that is free and those natural movements are available. Within these blue zones, one of the reasons why they have such a longer lifespan is because they understand these things. Today's episode of the 12 Habits That Can Add Years to Your Life was actually inspired by a conversation that I had with my mom, who had watched this show. I believe it's on Netflix. It's concerning the Blue Zones. I haven't watched it yet, so I don't know much about it, but Blue Zones is one of those things that I've been studying for quite some time now. I first heard about Blue Zones probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. And it was really intriguing to me because if you're not familiar with blue zones are certain areas of the world. There's five main ones, which are in Okinawa, Japan, Ikaria, Greece, Sardinia, Italy, Nicoya, Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California. And these are these zones, these geographical areas, these communities where people live significantly longer than the average. Right now, the average age is about 72, 73 for people within America, not too far off throughout the world. And, you know, in today's day and age, if you make it into your 80s, late 80s, and especially 90s, that's supposedly super good. And you've lived a good, long, healthy life that is full of longevity. But within these blue zones, it is very normal for them to live beyond 100 years old. There's many active members of these blue zones that are 102, 103, 105 that are still active. They're still riding their bikes around. They're still in community. They're still speaking. They still have their abilities about them. They're not in nursing homes. They're not suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's, like we see a lot here in the West with the average population and now kind of throughout the world. So if we have these blue zones already in the world where people live longer than average, and they not only live longer, it's not just about longevity, it's about the quality of that life. They're happier, they're healthier, their movement is better, their acumen and their ability to respond intellectually is higher. So we have these blue zones throughout the world that are fully functioning and alive today. And I remember when I first heard about these blue zones, I was a little perplexed because in my mind, if we already have these blue zones throughout the world where people are literally applying these things and living longer, why is it, first off, that we don't know more about this? And second off, why aren't we doing everything we can to replicate these blue zones? So when I heard that there was a documentary basically going over these blue zones, I decided it was time to kind of resurrect this subject and dive a little bit deeper into this to share with you and with others exactly what they do within these blue zones to live a longer, healthier, happier life so that you can then begin to apply some of these habits. And all of these habits you're going to find are not incredibly new. They're not incredibly surprising. A lot of them are back to the basics. They're things that we've been discussing on this podcast for quite some time, and it's all about living a holistic life. There's going to be some ones that may surprise you, but overall, they're pretty simple, and we're going to go over these and touch on these today. These are the 12 habits that can add years to your life. We're going to split these up into four sections, and there's going to be three micro sections within each section. So there's 12 total, and the four overarching themes are move naturally, outlook, connection, and eat wisely. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with movement. Now, with movement, as you know, this is huge. And this is, I've always known movement was important, but my idea of what movement is was actually a little skewed and a little limited. I was a big advocate for going to the gym and working out and gaining muscle and being healthier. And I think all these things are super important, but over the last 2 months, my perspective on movement has shifted drastically because I've started to realize that with me personally, I started to feel very stagnant at the gym. I started to feel like it was very stale, and all of the movements I was doing at the gym were very linear. They were very symmetrical, and I wasn't really doing a lot of twisting or torquing with my body or natural movements that you would actually do out in nature. It's very linear and two-dimensional. You know, you do curls, you do different shoulder raises, you walk on the treadmill, you do Stairmaster. These are pretty common exercises at the gym, but it's not really getting to the core of your body and helping your body to move in natural ways that you would have to if you were out in nature, if you had to move, if you had to run, if you had to pick up a bag of rice and throw it over your shoulder. These are actually the typical movements that our bodies have adapted to, and the body wants to move so it can express the fascia, it can loosen up, it can release trauma, but you don't really get that within the gym. So one of the biggest things with movement in these blue zones is that it's all about moving naturally, and these movements are actually very simple. The first section within movement is called by hand, and what they've discovered within these blue zones is that the elderly don't really rely on a lot of gadgets to get things done. They're doing simple movements that are more natural, such as chopping wood, kneading bread, making crafts, doing a lot of their hobbies by hand. And what this is doing is it's helping the brain-body connection. It's keeping their muscles and brain active so that they can also derive a sense of fulfillment by doing things that they love while moving the body. And I'm not saying you can't love the gym. Many people do love the gym, but oftentimes we exit our life to then go exercise, go to a gym inside of a building where there's no sunlight, and then we then leave that to continue our lives. But within blue zones, the movement is integrated within their daily life. It's daily things that they're doing that require a lot of this movement. The second section of movement is walking. Within every single blue zone, walking is huge. They walk everywhere. They don't really default to cars as a method of transportation. And what this allows them to do, obviously, is to get regular exercise while spending time outdoors. In one of the blue zones in Sardinia, the roads are super steep. They have a lot of inclines. And this is correlated to longer lifespans compared to neighboring towns with flatter roads. And this is one of the first things I noticed when I arrived in Cusco, Peru. Not only was the elevation significantly higher, so it's harder to breathe, but you had these staircases that were so steep. These were at like a 70% incline, and you had these elderly folks with sacks of bricks and different items, even carrying babies on their back, who were in their 60s climbing up these stairs. And some of these staircases, no joke, they were so long, they would take a solid 25 minutes to get up to the top. And people are doing this multiple times a day. So you're gonna see a lot of walking within blue zones. And this is something that I've really been looking at a lot too. If you look at the science on going on a walk, just a 20-minute walk every day, the benefits for it are astronomical. And so I'm starting to really rewire my mindset and perspective around movement and fulfillment and what that really looks like. Do we really need to go to the gym? Is it really the most natural thing we could be doing? And in fact, are there other ways to incorporate more natural movements, such as walking, such as doing things by hand, that can increase not only our longevity, but our quality of life? And the research on blue zones tells us that it does just that. The third section of movement that they found really big within blue zones is gardening. And this doesn't really come by surprise because there's a lot of factors that go into this. Number one, you're getting a natural food source, and eating wisely is one of the sections that we're going to go over. But not only are you getting your natural resource, what they found is that having this green thumb helped the elders to lower their center of gravity, actually, and to practice their balance. Think of the movement of gardening. You're constantly squatting, you're getting up, you're moving, you're adjusting, your hands are in the soil that have the microbials, that have the bacteria, you're grounding to Mother Earth, you're expanding your knowledge of the plant world, of the different species that it takes to be able to get the herbs and the nutrients that we need. So gardening, again, checks off a lot of these boxes within the movement category. So what you're going to find in each of these sections as we go over these 12 habits is that, again, they're holistic. Everything is completely connected. So going back to the gym example, again, I find it really interesting that we almost put our lives on pause to go to a building inside to then walk on a treadmill or to lift some weights when we could be doing those same types of movements in nature that integrate naturally into our lives. And I'm not saying the gym isn't necessary, but as you study these blue zones, you naturally begin to question some of these practices that we're doing, and you often wonder if it's as effective as we think it is. Not to mention that you're paying to go to the gym. Some of these gyms, you're paying $120, $150 bucks a month. You're paying to move your body. You're paying to be able to like exercise when in reality that is free and those natural movements are available. And so within these blue zones, one of the reasons why they have such a longer lifespan is because they understand these things and they understand that natural movement and really, really getting into the nitty-gritty of their body and being able to connect on a different level is extremely important. So now that we've gone through movement, let's jump to the next section, which is outlook. A positive outlook in these blue zones is everything. According to the research that was done in these blue zones, the outlook that they had allowed them to maintain a state of calm and have extremely lower stress levels reported, you know, across the board. They were able to really monitor their peace of mind. And there's three specific things that they found within a positive outlook that contributed to this. The first thing is unwinding regularly. People in the blue zones, they work super hard. They're not lazy. They're not sitting around. They're still actually working throughout the day, often very, very long days, and often way past retirement age. They don't really have a retirement age in blue zones, but they're able to do that because they find time each day to decompress and to unwind. But what it comes down to is the quality of that decompression and how they do that. In these blue zones, they're not decompressing by putting on a Netflix show or just scrolling, you know, through social media. What they're doing is they're actually turning more to community. They're socializing, they're dancing, often drinking wine together. But they're coming to a place to where they can actually energetically release any of this tension that's wound up in them throughout the day. And they're, again, naturally releasing this through their body. The second thing is finding faith. Having a positive outlook on life, one of the things that's common throughout these blue zones is some type of faith base. It's either religion or spiritual. But regardless of their denomination, people in the blue zones tend to belong to these faith-based communities, and they devote their time towards their respective beliefs within these communities. And having that spiritual through line is extremely important that allows them to realize that there's something beyond just, you know, going through the tasks of life and just living. They're able to have a positive outlook because they believe in something greater than themselves. And the last habit of this section of a positive outlook is developing a sense of purpose. In Okinawa, Japan, they have this thing called Ikigai, which I've done an episode on before, I think in the first season. But it's basically the sense of purpose. It's the sense of waking up every morning with an idea of what you're going to bring into the world, of what you were placed here to produce, and the purpose that you can fulfill through that. And each member of these communities within these blue zones have a deep sense of purpose. They know why they're waking up and they know what they're doing. And that's even just more supported by the community around them. So having a positive outlook is extremely important to developing these other habits and towards having a longer lifespan and a healthier and happier life. The next section within these habits is eating wisely. And within eating wisely, there's three habits that we're going to touch on. The first one is the actual diet itself. In all the blue zones across the world, they are 95% plant-based. This really shouldn't come as too much of a surprise. This is my take on eating meat, because again, this has changed drastically over time. I still eat meat every now and then, but I actually don't buy it. The only time I eat meat is if I'm going out, if it's offered to me, or maybe if my body really is craving it and I know that I need those nutrients within it. But what I have found through my own personal journey and through deep research and through other mentors of mine that really have gone deep into this is that food is actually not fuel. We believe it is. We believe that the reason we eat food is to be fueled. But if you look into it, 80% of the fuel, 80% of the calories that you consume go directly towards digestion and absorption. It takes so much energy to actually digest your food and move it through your body, which takes about 3 hours, that by the time it moves through digestion, that means you only have about 20% of the calories left over that go to energy. So it doesn't actually make sense that food is energy, that food is fuel, not to mention that your cells in your bodies are photons. They're photons of light that are actually empowered through sunlight. This is why you have people that can be breatharians, because they're literally receiving energy through sunlight and through the earth. And that may sound crazy. That may sound completely off the charts. But if you really look at it and you study and you look at even the science and physiology of it, it checks out 100%. So if food isn't fuel, if that's not the purpose of it, then what is fuel meant for, or what is food meant for? It's medicine. Food is medicine. And we know this. Socrates says this: you are what you eat. Your food is your medicine. But food is medicine. Every single piece of food that you put into your mouth is actually catered towards resolving or healing something within your body or meeting a deficiency that's there that you're supplementing for. So if you look at people who eat meat, meat is a medicine for many people. They're struggling with many different diagnoses or symptoms or irregularities or compensations within their body that the iron or the other minerals and nutrients that are within meat are exactly what their body needs to heal. But once their body starts to heal, there will hit a point where they need less and less meat. And over time, eventually, for someone whose body is completely healed, completely full, not deficient, they will no longer need meat, which means they won't eat meat anymore. And this is why in any spiritual community, if you look at any yogis, if you look at any masters who tend to be more on the spiritual side, they don't eat meat. And it's because they don't need it in order for their body to thrive. They don't need the medicine anymore. And this is what supplements are. Supplements don't give you any fuel. Supplements are there to cater to any deficiencies within the body where it needs more healing. So in all blue zone communities, they are 95% plant-based. And this comes from a diverse array of, you know, vitamin and protein-rich vegetables, beans, nuts, fruits, beans, squash, anything that's going to be organic and natural to the earth where they can directly pull energy from. And within that 5% of eating meat, it depends on the area of the world, but most of the time it is some type of fish they will use as a type of meat. But it's something to consider that all of the blue zones, for longevity, for a longer, happier, healthier life, the majority of them are plant-based diets. The second habit within eating wisely, which was actually a surprise to me, is wine. Now, I'm not a wine drinker, and I haven't looked deeply into this one, but except for some of the religious people like the Adventists, you know, in Loma Linda, in these blue zones, all Blue Zones drink one or two glasses of wine per day while socializing with the community. So there's kind of a double value there of them. It's really about the socialization. When they're unwinding after the day, they will come together in communities. They use the wine to be able to decompress. Now, what's really important is the amount of wine that they drink and the quality. The wine that they drink is extremely high quality and it's plant-based. So there's no herbicides, there's no pesticides in it, and they're not getting buzzed off this. And in fact, if you look into the research of wine and some types of alcohol, which this is still a bit controversial and it's something I need to look into more, but one shot or one glass will actually help to decompress the fascia within the body and help to loosen it up. But anything past that now spikes your cortisol and you start to have actually reverse effects and you start to, it's basically a curve of diminishing returns. So all of them drink wine, but especially on a get-together. They're not at their home by themselves watching Netflix, just getting drunk on wine. They're coming together and they're using it as a social habit to be able to connect with one another and decompress throughout the day. Not to mention that a pure organic wine has a lot of polyphenols, which is really healthy for the body. So that's something to look into as well. It's not something that I do as a habit, but I'm not going to say it's something that'll change because the evidence is there and it's something that Blue Zones really do tap into. And the third habit within eating wisely is moderation. This is especially focused around food. They really believe that, and in Japan, they have a saying, I'm probably going to butcher this, but it's hara hachibu, which basically means that they stop when their stomachs are 80% full. Now, to do this, you have to be extremely in tune with your body, extremely in tune with your intuition. But if you notice, your body actually has a natural mechanism for telling you when it's full, and it's the sigh. As you're eating, you'll notice that at some point, if you're really conscious of your eating and you're not just stuffing your face, but you're slowly eating, you're breathing, you're chewing your food properly. At some point, when your stomach is 80% full, it will sigh. It'll go, you'll feel that and you'll actually do that. And if you can notice that, that is your body's switch telling you that it's done with food. Now you can keep eating past that, of course, but that's your body telling you that it's good. It's done. It has what it needs. And people in the Blue Zones that live longer, healthier lives, they're very in tune with their bodies. They're extremely mindful. And so they cap at that 80% mark, which again goes back to eating more slowly, responding to the cues of the body, and really focusing on the food to savor those flavors and be fully enriched in it, and not just eating out of habit and, you know, being forced by your subconscious mind and just stuffing your face. So diet is a monstrous part of these Blue Zones having a longer health and lifespan. The third category is connection. Within connection, we have another three habits. Now, regardless of age, everyone in the Blue Zones form genuine connections with members of their community. It's the most critical commonality between all the Blue Zones and likely the most impactful secret to longevity. From everything that I've seen and studied with Blue Zones, it comes down to community. And is this really that surprising? Because if you look at some of the epidemics going on today, especially in Western society, it's isolation, it's loneliness. People are so disconnected from others that they're becoming disconnected from themselves. We saw this during COVID. We've seen this from several other things. The other thing that's really interesting is new research that's come out on cancer, and this is by Dr. Zach Bush, but he specifically expresses that in their research, they have found that the source of cancer are isolated cells. When the cell becomes isolated from the body, it becomes cancerous. We can apply this to a collective model. When we become isolated from other human beings because we're wired for connection, a cancer starts to grow within us and within the community. And it disconnects us so much that we begin to actually have physical, emotional, and mental downfalls downstream from that isolation. So the first habit within connection in these Blue Zones is family first. You'll see this a lot in Asian culture, but the whole family lives together. They don't have this rule where when you turn 18, you're kicked out of the house to go be independent. that's actually ludicrous to them because they believe that they're stronger and they can move faster by doing it together. You'll see this in the Indian culture as well. Within India, you'll see all these people living together in one home, all working on, you know, something together. They pool their resources together and they're able to achieve significantly more than someone that's a lone wolf. They also really prioritize the well-being of elders. The elders live with the family, with the parents, and keeping aging family members close by and within the family home ensures that they're still connected across generations. I mean, I was speaking with a friend about this the other day. Think of the wisdom that's lacking nowadays from elders. Like, how often do we actually hear wisdom from elders? In fact, we disregard elders. This is a bit conspiracy put on my tinfoil hat, but I think nursing homes are intentional. I think that nursing homes have been created to label older people with dementia, you know, Alzheimer's, whatever the disease is, to literally extradite them from society, basically lock them up so we don't have access to their wisdom and their life experiences. We are proving now that these diseases of aging can be reversed. And one of the greatest ways to do that is through community. So it's no wonder that in these blue zones, as they live longer, it's because they keep everyone together, especially the elderly. And this has a real, real impact on how they live. Like in Sardinia, one of these blue zones, they don't have nursing homes. They don't exist because that idea of kicking out a family member that's aging to basically isolate them in a nursing home, it really doesn't make any sense. So when you really look into the connection and the power of blue zones, it's very obvious, but it's the reverse of what we're doing in Western society. The second habit within connection is partnership. People in the blue zones invest in their romantic unions. You know, they forge strong, loving partnerships, including marriages, and they really work on those partnerships. Their divorce rate is pretty much non-existent because they do it for the right reasons, and they're there to build that connection and that partnership. And the third habit within connection is having a tribe. You know, it's not just romantic. It's not just family and elderly. But it's having an immediate social circle to depend upon and invest because this is crucial to longevity. And having, you know, groups of neighborhood friends, meeting regularly, supporting each other in times of need, unwinding together. And my prediction is in the next 12 months, 12 to 24 months, we're going to see a massive rise in these tribes, in these communities, because people are craving it. People are getting sick. People are feeling isolated. You're starting to have more physical expressions of that isolation. And so creating tribes and communities is going to actually become pretty much a non-negotiable in the future of finding people that can regularly support you in times of need, because as times change and as things get more chaotic and the world is changing, it's just a natural process, we're going to need more community. We're going to need more support. So I think that through the changes of the world, we're actually going to be naturally forced into more of these patterns of the blue zones and start to mimic and mirror these so we can live a healthier life. Those are the four sections of blue zones that we went over: moving naturally, positive outlook on life, eating wisely, and connection. And within each of those, you have three distinct habits that form the 12 habits of living longer. You know, moving by hand, gardening, walking, unwinding each day, having a faith-based community, having a divine purpose to wake up to, eating a plant-based diet, incorporating wine into the diet, moderation with eating, family first when it comes to connection, especially with elderly, having a partnership, and then having a tribe or community to support you. All of these 12 habits, what is really nice about this and what's really, I guess, hopeful for me when I study these things is that these are all very attainable. If you notice, these are extremely simple. And if you notice, all of these are free. This doesn't require some crazy biohacking routine that people can't do, or some $100,000 stem cell research therapy, or going to the best doctors in the world. It doesn't require any of this. This is all very natural. This is about stepping away from disconnection and isolation. It's about connecting more to those around us, having a community that supports you, treating your body well by moving and putting the right medicine within you, and being able to believe in something greater than yourself that the community can tap into. These are all very simple. They're all very doable, which is why I was so drawn towards the study of blue zones, because if we can begin replicating this more and more, we are going to mimic and achieve the same results that are already documented through blue zones, which is living a long, long life, and not just a long life, but a long life that is happy, that is healthy, that has purpose, that's connected to others, to where you feel good every single day and you're waking up with a purpose because you're able to see that evidence around you. This is why blue zones are so powerful. So I would suggest, you know, if you have time to really look into this, begin to study blue zones. And if you're confused at how to, I don't know, rearrange or manage your life, if you're going through changes with your body, with your relationships, if you're feeling lonely, really look into blue zones and begin to mimic some of these behaviors. And this takes time. Maybe you don't have a direct community around you. Maybe you really are lonely. But what can you do right now that's within your control? Can you move more naturally? Can you change your diet up a little bit? Can you change the way that you have a relationship with others and with elders? There's many things that you can do, even if you are isolated, to begin to mirror some of these blue zones. Because at the end of the day, what all of them have in common at their real root, like I said, is community. And anybody can start to build that community through social media, through your neighborhood, through your roommates, through your family. People are all around you. You have the power to establish that. It just comes down to initiating that and getting over that fear of visibility, which I think a lot of us have, that fear of being seen. It's something that I'm still working through on many levels. And so being able to face our own fears that are working against us, being more curious, and being able to do the inside work that is required to step beyond ourselves, that's the first step to finding a community, to deliberately creating a happy community around yourself, and being the leader that can start to pull in the blueprints of these blue zones so that we can live a happier, healthier life. So hopefully this provided some good value for you as we go through, you know, as we went through these 12 habits that can add years to your life. Begin to apply these little by little and use this as inspiration to start to create the life that you want for yourself. Peace, everybody.